Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello, I love the introduction.
Hey, Ed, so you know what? We never actually publicly celebrated the fact that we now have over 1 million downloads on the podcast.
How did we not do that? I mean, when did we pass that threshold?
At this time, a couple months ago.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. But give me an exact date, because this is, what's the exact date we passed the threshold?
I texted you that day. I think it was like September.
It was it? Okay, so it's been, okay. Yep.
I'm trying to figure out exactly when it was.
I can't remember what it is. I don't really read most of your texts. I just screen them. No, I'm just kidding. Dagger Bear's going to think I'm so mean. They don't know we're friends.
Your love language, right? I mean, criticism is your love language.
Not criticism. It's more like gracious jesting. Not coarse jesting, but gracious jesting. Yeah, let's see. I can't find it. I can't find it.
Well, there you go. No, it's kind of crazy. And you know what?
A million downloads.
And all that to say, the whole idea of starting a podcast was not the main idea when we started New Churches.
That's true. And now it's become the biggest thing that we do. I mean, it's like really listened to all over the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right. So enough of that. We have a great question from a Plus member. So here it is. And you know what? It's kind of hard for me to actually say the question as is, because he has two questions and there's a lot of context. But the beautiful thing is, as a Plus member, we give a lot of specific coaching as well. So there's that for Plus membership. But here's the question. We're about to start launch team meetings about 1.5 months before the first preview service. What would you talk about at these 3 to 4 meetings? What is your order of service? And then the second question is, for preview services, for the, you know, the 3 to 4 that he is asking about, do you advertise it to the community, or do you just have your launch team members invite friends and family? Okay, so let me just give the context that he gave about where he is, and then it'll help us answer the question. Okay, so he's in a town of about 15,000 people. There's about 20 to 25 evangelical churches. A third of the community does not believe Jesus existed. There's a college of about 1,000 students, and he's hoping to use the college for a worship location, and he's reaching families right now with kids in the house. Okay. So two questions. What should we do at the preview services? And number two, do we advertise them?
Yeah. So, can I start with the second one, maybe? And then you weigh in too. So the second one is, I think you advertise them, but I think you advertise them. Don't use all your advertising for the first preview service, because then you end up with, you know, I got 200 in the first preview service, or an area like he is. He's not going to have 200 probably anyway, but say I had 100 in the first preview service, then 60, then 40. And then it's like, okay, that's not what's supposed to happen. So what I would say is, I might do the first preview service without any marketing. The second preview service, I would probably do some marketing, have people, you know, invite their friends more, maybe do flyers in neighborhoods, maybe do some targeted Facebook ads, maybe do a mailer or two. The third one, I would do whatever I did the second one, I would do twice in the third one. And then whatever I did in the third one, assuming there's only three, I would go all out with the fourth one. So typically you want to grow. I mean, there's a natural, you know, kind of tendency, a pathway. So you want to have 60, 80, 100, 120 at the launch, you know, something like that. Part of it is people are becoming part, they're joining the team, they're getting excited about it, those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that, because it's momentum. Right. You're doing preview services. Yeah. Partially you're doing the preview services to make sure that your guest services teams know what they're doing, and that kids check-in is smooth, and there's not a long wait line for that, and that the tech is running, your team knows. So the preview services aren't public, because you're really trying to just test drive and get everything going. And the reason why you wouldn't want to advertise that first one, especially because, it's going to be embarrassing. There are going to be mistakes. And for you, you're going to be nervous as well as the preacher trying to do that, and who's going to be doing the announcements and hosting the service and all that, right? So there's a lot of that you just want to work through and work out and create that new rhythm. And because it's your launch team that's going to be there at the beginning, there's going to be a lot of grace, right? Because they are, they're in it. They're not leaving or just checking
you
out.
And that's why you tell people, you don't say this is going to be perfect. You're going to be like, no, this could be bumpy and, you know, the worship's going to be off key perhaps. I mean, whatever it may be. So I would really, really, really emphasize that and say, listen, there's a chance to get the bugs out. Then we're gonna do it again. By the time you get to your third though, you can't keep saying that. And then you say it's a little more excellently done, but then by the time you get to the fourth, you've worked out the kinks and really you want to make sure. Here's the thing people sometimes wonder, well, Ed, if I invite all my friends, you know, the first one and they all show up, then I don't mean, you know, most may not stay, but then if I do the second one, there'll be less people. It actually doesn't work that way. The way we found that it works is that when you go all out and everyone invites their friends the first one, their friends, they'll probably have 10 friends that say they're going to come and one does. But then the second one of that 10, two or three might come. Yeah. And so in other words, it's actually the repetitive opportunity to be part of something that's like a first thing actually has a good positive psychological response to people. They're like, yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. And make sure that your sermons are already prepared, right? Don't be preparing them those weeks where you're launching. Get it all done in advance.
Yep.
Yeah. And then tweak them, obviously, as you're praying through them and doing your last minute prep for that weekend. Obviously, tweak them and leave that room for that. And here's the reason why. In between those preview services, you don't want to have normal weeks. I mean, this is going to be, you are mobilizing your launch team to knock on doors, to invite, you're doing block parties, you're doing every single thing that you can during that month to raise awareness of the church, you know, Google ads, Facebook ads, everything. Just you're going all out. And then during that, right, obviously, if you're wanting to do Facebook ads, you can do it toward the block party you're doing or do it to different events. And when people are at the block party, right, because you're thinking about a funnel, when they're at the block party, you can then invite them to the service, right? So don't be advertising your church via Facebook ads, you know, in terms of, hey, come to a new worship service, because it's just going to be within a town of 15,000 people where there are 25 evangelical churches. I mean, it's just, you're not going to get good click-through rate likely.
Yeah.
So do these events where it's, hey, free this or do this or hot dogs, barbecue, whatever. Right. So,
you are so going to get the Calvinists mad at you saying to do stuff like that, but that's all right. Just want to say that. I love everybody.
Do all that. And then funnel people in so that when they're at those events, you're then inviting them to the service. So that's why those weeks are. And here's the thing, right? Every preview service you do right after, you're going to have new people. Make sure you capture their information and make sure that you, church planter, are the one following up with them. Like
visiting them, talking to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what you want to do, you won't build on it. If you're like, oh, we had a preview service, hope you come back next month.
No,
you got a month to build relationships, lead people to faith in Christ, to build that intention. I may invite them to small groups that are meeting so that you're building on that momentum.
Yeah. And then when there's that personal relationship that develops, not just with you, right? And that's really important that, yes, you're doing the first touch, but you're not connecting everyone to you and only you, because then you become that growth. You know, you're that limiting factor, but you are that first contact, but then you get them plugged in and you get them in teams and in groups so that they're connecting with other people in the church as well. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, Ed, before we get to the order.
Well, we didn't do that. We're going to go do the first one after the break. I got you.
Yeah. So let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get into that.
Sounds like a winner.
Considering the seismic cultural shifts all around us, we must ask what lies ahead for Christians around the world. No one has done more to startle the church from its slumber than Len Sweet, and no one has equipped the church as effectively. Rings of Fire is a benchmark book from a seminal leader of the modern evangelical movement. In this book, Len outlines over 25 rings of fire facing the church and how we can walk in faith through this volcanic future. You can get your copy of Rings of Fire at navpress.com. Now back to the podcast. All right, so order of service. What do you think that those 3 to 4 preview services should be?
So I'm kind of the view that you want to have blocks of it that are the same as you'll do later on. Matter of fact, first of all, don't have like people from the outside lead worship. Matter of fact, don't have people from the outside lead worship on your first day. We did that once. And it's just like, we had this amazing worship day one, and then we all had to come back the next week. And it was like, wah, wah, wah. And so, you know, and again, I created expectations I shouldn't have, you know? So, well, fun fact, I actually have the video of the church. I just found it like a week or two ago, played it on a VCR. I'll explain one of those, what that is later.
Crazy.
Oh no, it was awesome, dude. It was like watching it. You know, I kind of got a little weepy. Matter of fact, I thought to myself, that's it. I want to go plant another church. And then Donna came in and said, no, you're not. And so anyway, but it was just fun to watch. But so we, cause that was like, this was not the church where we had like all the help from the outside. This was just us. So I actually was on the guitar because we didn't have a guitar player that day.
No kidding.
So I'm up there playing the guitar, and then I come down from the, you know, I'm up just on the band, and then I come down and I say, hey, I'm actually the pastor as well. And then there's a great part, right? I took up one of my sermon, I used overhead projector with like overhead cells printed. Oh, anyway, it was, I miss it. Awesome. I want to go start a church. Anyway. What I would suggest is to say, hey, everybody, listen, we know this is a preview service, and just kind of do this, explain those things, and then say, but from now on, we're going to do it just like it's our regular service. So we get used to this pattern. So I kind of bracket it on the beginning and the end with, hey, this is a preview service. Thanks for being a part of this community. Here's our vision. Here's our values. But then in the middle of it, that might be 5 and 5 on each side. In the middle of it is an hour of what our worship service really looks like. So I'm both setting the stage, connecting with people, you know, explaining more stuff at the end. And really, one of the things you got to really encourage people is to not come late, because you're going to set that up in the first 5 minutes as well.
Yeah, that's huge. So I'm hearing you, and I agree with you too. But other than those bookended quick messages here and there about what's going on, for it to really just be what it's going to be.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. You know, I feel like we've addressed the question, but you said something really interesting at the end there. You said, make sure that people come on time.
Yeah.
So don't you notice that people are coming to church later and later?
I do. And I think that's unhelpful. I think that's, there's a lot of things that we go along with culture. I think that's when we push back on culture. I think we tell people, you know, we really start worshiping the Lord at the top of the hour, or whatever else it may be. But, and it's everywhere. You know, I noticed this, you know, my church, I was at Saddleback the week before, and, you know, you look out and say, yeah, a lot of people. You look back and 10 minutes later, yeah, that place is full. And I think part of our culture thinks that it's okay to come late to church, but you don't come late to a concert. You don't come late to, and I know I sound like a, you know, 75-year-old man saying, your kids got to get to church on time. But I do think it's something we have to disciple people to do, and to say, listen, I don't want you to think if what they're doing is they're skipping the music because they don't like the music or they think it's too long. But I think we need to mature them into actually worshiping that time. And it's a, you know, we plan our whole worship service together, but by doing that early on, and the reason I said, you know, first 5 minutes, they need to be there to hear what you're doing and why. And so they're not going to bookends if they're not there on time, but that begins to build a pattern or a culture.
Now, okay. So I'm hearing you say you think it's a cultural thing that it has just kind of drifted. Have you heard of any churches that are counteracting that positively?
I don't know. It's a fair question. I've heard people, I mean, I've watched sermons where people say it, but I haven't been at their church to know if it's actually being done or not. So I don't know the answer. I do, maybe we can start a movement, On Time Church for Jesus. but yeah, I don't know of any particular ones. I do see some, like high energy churches, sometimes they kind of shut the doors and then they let people in, and people often sit in the front. And I think those churches probably have higher at the beginning, but I don't know that I could say for sure. Yeah. It's a good question.
Okay. Hey, so Plus members and listeners as well, everyone listening in, if you know of a church that is counteracting this really well,
wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah.
Yes. Please reach out to us on social media at Ed Stetzer, at Daniel Sangi, or just email me, daniel@newchurches.com. And we would love to hear this, because it's a real issue. I mean, even yesterday at the time of this recording, 10 minutes into this, like right at the beginning of the service, bear.
Yeah.
10 minutes in.
Did you like yell at them? Packed. Did you like, because Canadians don't yell at each other, right? I mean, it's not like Americans. So did you say, you people, I'm sorry, but you got to come on time.
Yeah. It's just, it's a little depressing, right? Like I sit at the front and I look back and there's like no one there. And then like 10 minutes later, it's like packed. I'm like, this is, oh man. Yeah. So, and I don't necessarily want to resolve it with some gimmicky stuff either. So
yeah.
Yeah. Would love to know churches that are doing this well. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in, and be sure to leave a question and help us answer this question too. And we will catch you next time.